So good morning. So if I haven't been here for a few weeks, am I a guest speaker? I'll expect my fellowship check when we're done. Lunch is on me. To my house for barbecue. Coming? Sweet. Patty, we got three more coming for lunch. So first of all, I'd like to tell you that for 2018, I've fallen behind. It's May. Does anybody know what my word for 2018 is?
I forgot.
I don't think you forgot because I haven't picked one yet. And it's May. So I lied. I misspoke. I haven't picked one. I picked one just recently. I was really struggling the last few weeks with its idea of the word purpose. Do we have a purpose in life? What's my purpose in life? What's our purpose here? Why are we here in church? About the same time where this thought started popping in my head, I had a friend of ours, or maybe acquaintance is probably a better word, who had decided to take his own life. So I had a lot of friends in work and through sports where they would just kind of talk about it kind of in general about the shock of this. And many of them were asking questions like, what's the meaning of life, or why did he do it? Is there life after death? And I thought, man, maybe this is a good time to choose this word purpose, since I was already thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, most of the people in my friends' circles were having conversations around this thought of purpose. So for 2018, my word is purpose. Did you know that in the United States, each year, 45,000 people die from suicide? 75% of all suicides in the world take place in well-developed countries. There are 25 attempts for every one successful suicide. And 22 veterans commit suicide every day. Among teenagers and adults under the age of 35, suicide is the second leading cause of death, only behind accidents. So the idea of suicide and what's my purpose and what's my role and how should I be talking to my friends at work or volleyball or wherever in life, this idea of purpose or what, why are we here, how can I talk to them and encourage them? So I decided to do some research and went to the internet and found an article on psychologytoday.com. They studied 100 different letters written by people who had either A, tried to commit suicide, or B, were successful in doing so. And they found that there were five key things in every one of the letters. They are a sense of burden, a sense of emotional pain, a sense of trying to escape negative feelings, a sense of an altered social world, and a sense of hopelessness. The biggest difference was in the notes of those who had actually completed, or I kind of don't like using the word successful because that sounds like it's a good thing, but those who tried to commit suicide and were successful in doing so, they found that there were two things more evident with those than in others. And the first one was hopelessness, and the second one was pain. So as I was studying these thoughts, I thought, man, hopelessness and pain. And as we go through life, we have these things, and we have these time periods where we feel like we're hopeless, and we feel maybe nobody cares. We feel like maybe there's some pain. Well, according to WebMD, there are some signs and symptoms. The first one is feeling hopeless, feeling trapped, feeling alone, feeling anxious or agitated, and feeling as if there's no reason to go on. So again, I kept reading through and I kept thinking, man, purpose, how can God impact this concept, or how can God be a part of these conversations? And so again, this is why I chose the word purpose, and this morning we're going to kind of just start the conversation of what purpose looks like in the Bible. So I looked up the definition of purpose, and if you look up as a noun, it's the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. So again, as a noun, the definition is the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. And as a verb, it has have as one's intention or objective. And man, this really hit home because as I'm just using the internet and I get to whatever Google brings up as the definition, it usually gives a sentence to help you put it into perspective. And this is what the sentence that Google gave us of verb for purpose. God has allowed suffering, even purposed it. And I thought, wow, even on Google.com, you just type in purpose, and that's what brought it up. So I kind of felt like that was my proverbial sign if I needed one, that maybe it was a word that I needed to spend some time getting to know a little bit more. So we're going to take a look at it over the next several months. We're going to look at it in two concepts. One, what purpose looked like before Christ, and then secondly, what purpose looked like after Christ. So as we get into what purpose looks like before Christ, I'd like to play a game. So in my defense, I invited almost 25 of my volleyball friends and coworkers to come to church today. And if they could all stand up. Exactly. When I was writing this message, I really kind of had them in mind. So as we go through the game that we're about to play, please forgive how amazing it's going to be. So if you guys could go ahead and pull it up on the screen. If you guys would like to join in playing the game, you don't have to, but I'll give you some incentive. The winner of the game gets their choice between two free coupons for one free kid's Pelican Snowball. And you might be laughing, and if you are, you haven't had a Pelican Snowball. This is worth more than the second coupon or gift that you can choose from. My wife told me not to do it anyway. I have a gift card to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Disclaimer. I have no idea how much money is on the gift card. I can't remember having eaten there recently. And I think, to be fair, I think I won it at work and I think it was $25, which is like one baked potato. So if you're really in the mood for a baked potato, we got a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse or two Pelicans. Matter of fact, I'll let the first place choose and then whoever comes in second place, can get the second choice. Then go to Ruth's Chris and then Pelicans afterwards. So if you'd like to join the game, you can play on your own for those of you who are technologically, impaired. But for those of you who aren't, please grab your cell phones and you can open a web browser. And in the web browser, up on the top, you can see it on the top right, you can go to Kahoot.it. Most of the kids in high school or middle school probably have been here numbers of times. Any of the teachers in the room probably have the app already downloaded on their phone. But if you'd like to join in, it is Kahoot.it. Once you're in, it's going to ask you for the code, which is on the top of the screen. Once you click the code on the top of the screen, it's going to ask you for a nickname. I certainly hope that is my wife who signed in as Lauren's wife. If you'd like to make a nickname, feel free. Some of the technologically advanced figured out how to do emoticons already. If you pick a dumb nickname, I will remove you from the room. Can we get Mesties on the board? Wait, can we get a little bit of music? Because I think they're missing how awesome this game really is. Yes. Is it interesting that Spicy, Intestine, and Uncle Bill are all right together? All right, so we'll give it about 30 more seconds. I promise there is a point to this game. Is anybody trying to get in that's not already in or doesn't see their name on the board? Josh and Sarah can't see, but since they usually win things, we're just going to move it right here, make it a little more fair for everybody else. Anybody else? All right, so we're getting ready to start in just a minute. Here's the way the game's going to work. There's going to be a question on the screen up here for about 5 seconds. You need to read it quick. The screen's going to refresh, and after the question is gone, there's going to be multiple choice of four answers, and it's your job to guess which one's correct. If you get it wrong, you get 0 points, but the faster you answer, the more points you get. At the end of the 10 questions, whoever has the most points gets to pick a gift card. Is everybody ready? So let's go ahead and click start. Question number one, if the oxygen level of the earth was just 3% more than it is today, this would happen. Spontaneous fires, water would freeze at 35 degrees Kelvin. Who is Kelvin? I used gum because I couldn't spare Fahrenheit and Celsius. So on your phone, you're going to push which one you think it is. All right, good. So we got spontaneous fires would erupt. It's getting heated over here after question number one. So let's see who anybody want to admit to being in first place already. I tried to cheat and help make sure Josh wouldn't win, but so let's go ahead and click next. Van Beerdenstein, is that you? No. Who's Van Beerdenstein? Admit, you got the first one right. All the way in the back. Can't even see him. Thanks, Jesse. All right, so here's what happens, right? So he got a little bit more points than you because he was a little faster. So let's go to question number two. If oxygen levels were just 3% less than what they are today, this would happen. All right, so good job. Humans would suffocate. So we're catching on how it works. For those of you who are struggling reading the board, there are plenty of seats that are a little bit closer. Next, so Van Beerdenstein is still in the lead. Go ahead, next. If the gravitational force were altered by this percent, our sun would not exist, and therefore neither would we. All right, slightly trick question because two of them are, I hope, I'm so glad Skip's not here to be correcting my math today. But I'm pretty sure the first two on the left are the same number. Just as a reference, that's one with 38 zeros behind it. And we're going to see a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. Next question. Uh-oh, BB's in the lead. If the expansion rate of the universe was off by this percent, the universe would have collapsed. There we go. So again, kind of the same number. So we already talked about the first one with the rate of expansion is now 1 times 10 to the 6th. So Daniel is going to be our scribe just so we can see this number build. This is what 1 times 10 to the 6th looks like. Next question. This planet acts as a vacuum, cosmic vacuum cleaner. Do you know what your planets look like by their pictures? Good work. Right, so you just guessed and we're happy. Scientists say that if Jupiter was not in our solar system, Earth would not be here. Anybody know why? Think of cosmic vacuum. What does it attract to itself that could be dangerous to us? Asteroid. So I don't know if you saw the little red mark that was on the planet. That red mark is the size of 2 Earths. And that's where an asteroid hit their planet. Jupiter is so large and its gravitational force is so strong that any asteroid that comes anywhere near it gets sucked into Jupiter's orbit instead of ours. Next, please. The axis tilt of the Earth is this, and if it were off by less than 1%, extreme temperatures would end life. What is the axis tilt of the Earth? Good, right, it is 23 degrees. Thank you for recognizing that the band on the screen in the picture was a band that used to be called 98 degrees. I thought that was clever. The whole time I was writing this, I kept thinking of Tom and that nobody was going to get my jokes. Next, please. If the balance between matter and antimatter was off by this number, the universe could not exist. Any takers for 8675309? Nobody? Thank you. Right, so we've got 1 times 10 to the 9th. So Daniel's going to add a couple of more zeros. While Daniel's writing, let's go to the next question. The mass density of the universe must be this precise for physical life to have formed. How precise must it be? One part in a trillion, 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 which is 1 times 10 to the 60th. We're not going to wait for Daniel to continue writing zeros. We're going to go ahead and click next. Looks like EB's taking over the lead from Lauren's wife. Go ahead, next. Question number 9. The amount of energy in space must be within this amount of its current measure. So I felt bad for people who weren't getting any of these right, so I gave you credit if you picked. I haven't gotten one right, but nobody picked it. But it is 1 times 10 to the 20th. Daniel is still not done with his 60. We don't have time to wait for him to keep drawing, so we're going to go. Number 10, last question. What are the odds that you could blindly select a predetermined grain of sand hidden on any beach on the earth? Let's see what we've got. So one chance in 100 billion, billion. Click next just once. Let's see who wins. EB. So we got a choice between Pelican Snowball 2 Free Kid Cups or a Roost Crisp gift card that at least used to be worth $25, might be worth $25, or, yeah, I told you guys, you didn't believe me. And let's see who came in second. My wife cheated and came in second on purpose, knowing that somebody would take the Pelicans just so she could keep the gift card. So here's who's Van Beerden sign all the way in the back. So Daniel, how many zeros we got on our chart here? And I didn't say they were valid. So as I began my study this year on the word purpose, I'd come across some concepts of the idea of what's called intelligent design. I would recommend at some point in time, if you have some spare time, to just Google that word and find some of the numbers that we had discussed. So I wanted to call out how intricately designed the universe is. Now remember, we're still in the BC stages of what purpose looks like for us. So what's the purpose of life? So we talked about, and I didn't count, so this is rough, one grain of sand hidden anywhere on the earth, on any of the beaches. What are the chances that somebody could randomly just reach down, trying to find the grain of sand, but not looking, and pick that one specific grain of sand? And that is 1 times 10 to the 20th. So that's just this number. It's hard for our minds to grasp how unlikely that is to happen. Matter of fact, there's a scientist from somewhere in Europe, Coles, I think his last name, don't quote me on that. He says that anything after 50 should be considered impossible. It's not true in the world of science, but the word that's maybe more accurate is improbable. So anything after that shouldn't be able to happen. But as we kept going, we found things up here that were 1 times 10 to the 60th. That's 10 zeros past what should be possible. And then we saw with space energy, it's 1 times 10 to the 123rd. More than twice what should be possible. So I wanted to show us a quick view of what that looks like in comparison. I have to spin it. Yes. So again, we're showing 1 times 10 to the 20th compared to 1 times 10 to the 50th. Look at the difference in the size of these numbers. Please turn with me to Job chapter 26. So there are plenty of websites that you can find. Reasonable Faith, Hugh Ross, Frank Turek, Norman Geisler, who will use what we call intelligent design, will use these numbers to argue that this is proof that there is a God. Not necessarily God of the Bible per se, but a God. Today we're going to take that maybe a little bit further, and we're going to go, okay, we'll give you that maybe there's a God, but what's that mean? Job chapter 26, verse 7. Job speaking about God. He stretches out the north over empty spaces, and he hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps up the waters in his clouds, and the cloud does not burst under them. He obscures the face of the full moon and spreads his cloud over it. He's inscribed a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundaries of light and darkness. The pillar of heavens tremble and are amazed at his rebuke. He quieted the sea with his power and by his understanding he shattered Rahab. By his breath the heavens are cleared. By his hands had pierced the fleeing serpent. Behold, these are the fringes of his ways, and how faint a word we hear of him. But his mighty thunder, who can understand it? Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. That was Job. He understood the intrinsic design of the universe. Things like wrapping the water, obscuring the moon, spreading out clouds, setting the boundary of light and dark, making the heavens a pillar, quieting the sea. So as I started thinking about purpose and I looked at this concept of intelligent design and how much thought and design and intelligence and wisdom is put into our very intricate network of events that must have taken place for man to exist, then I came across this verse in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And in chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." So as I embark in 2018 on this concept of what purpose looks like, to me, it just really stood out that, man, God put so much design and purpose and care and planning into this universe. But then I get to verse 26, and it says, "He made me in his image," which tells us I'm at an even higher level than everything else that was already created. And if this has this much intelligence, this much design, this much purpose, so much purpose that at this number, it starts to be unfathomable, and we still have another 72 zeros to go before we get to the end of the last question, how much more purpose do I have? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to start in verse 11. "Like a shepherd, he," God, "will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." So as I think about this concept with my friend who recently had taken his life, who left a letter very similar to one we've been talking about today, I feel like, man, he just needed somebody to come along and hold them in their arms as a shepherd would a lamb. So when I came across this, I thought, oh, man, here's a great picture of what I would hope I would be able to share with my friends and hope they could feel some of the same nursing that I would as I'm being carried by my shepherd close to his bosom. So who's going to be doing this gentle leading? Let's look at verse 12. "For who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off by the heavens of the span and calculated the dust of the earth by measure and weighed the mountains in the balance and the pillars or in the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the spirit of the Lord, or who his counselor has informed? With whom did he consult, and with whom, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and informed him of the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket, and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like a fine dust." So who is it that takes us into his arms and nurses us and cares for us when we need it most? It is the same person who intricately designed the universe. Isaiah is telling us here, it is he who measures the water in the hollow of his hands. How hard must it be to measure water? And think about the amount of water that's on our planet. He's marked off heaven. He's calculated the dust of the earth by measure. God is so involved in the design and carrying out of the universe, he knows exactly how much dust is on the planet. You guys ever like just run your finger along the back of your TV, like after a year you don't dust it because they dust the back of their TV? And it's thick. But God knows every part of that. That is the same God who cares for us and tends for us and gathers us and carries us in his bosom. Let's keep going. Verse 25. To whom will you then liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. So Isaiah is telling us, look, is when you're feeling down and you're feeling out and you're feeling the sense of burden, you're feeling the sense of guilt or hopelessness, Isaiah tells us, look on high and see the star, because the one who leads forth those hosts and he calls them by name, great is his might and the strength of his power. You need strength and you need energy. I can turn to the God who created the sun out of nothing. How much energy does the sun have? If the sun is measured to 1 × 10²³ with the amount of energy it has, I think God can supply me enough energy for what I need. God is the source of our strength. Not only does he hold the stars, not only does he hold the water, not only does he lift up islands and weigh mountains, not only does he know the dust on the earth, in the atmosphere, in the universe, but more importantly, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, he's created us in his own image. So how much more purpose and life and design is there going to be for us, for him? That's really all I had for this morning. Again, just kind of getting my feet wet on the idea of what purpose looks like. But hopefully this morning we saw that, man, God, the design of the universe is intricate. There are hundreds and hundreds of websites and YouTube videos where men who are way more smarter than I use this concept to argue for God. Today we'll take that for granted and assume that's the case. And today I want us to use the same argument for how purposeful the universe was designed. It looks like it was designed for us. And if it was designed for us, and God's also the one that created us, Genesis chapter 1, how much more purpose do we have? So in the next few months, we'll find out. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to open your word. We thank you for the amazing wisdom and strength and power you've shown in creating the universe as we see it. We hope that the information we've learned this morning will prick our hearts to look closer at your design, not just for creation, but for us as well. It's in your son's name we give thanks. Amen.